As I've gotten older over the years, and maybe as I've celebrated more and more Advent seasons, I find Advent more and more a very radical time. Radical in the sense of it is so much against or overturning the assumptions and the habits and the rules of this world. Advent is a time in which we are offered a perspective that takes us out of this world and out of maybe the habits and biases and prejudices and assumptions that make up part of our daily lives all too often without us even thinking about it. I also find Advent a poignant season. And it has to do with the theme today of hope. Hope is looking forward to what is not yet. So in Advent, although we are celebrating the birth of Christ that is coming, the birth of Christ has happened historically. What we're really looking towards is Christ coming again. The world being made whole. And coming to consummation, all of God's promises. That's what we are looking forward to, really, in Advent every year. And of course, that is not yet. As with all things that we hope, you don't hope for things that have already happened or that you already have. You hope for the not yet. And so Advent is a hopeful season, but there's a poignancy to it, I think. It's similar, just as I've been thinking this week, to, for example, the hope we have as a nation, the country, the ideals that we try to embody as a country that I think we all would acknowledge are still not yet. Freedom and equality and justice, not yet. We're hopefully working towards them. But that work goes on. Sort of like Advent. Not yet, but hopefully coming. And we're working on it in the meantime. Now, I think this whole poignancy is evident in both our readings this morning. And evident in the imagery in both of these readings. Both Isaiah and Paul are looking ahead to a time that's not yet. Isaiah is saying when all the people will come to the Lord's mountain and walk in the ways of the Lord. Not yet. And both these readings, did you notice, also use the imagery of weapons, which I thought was very interesting. Isaiah talks about a time coming when we gather at the Lord's mountain. And all the weapons of this world, the swords and the spears, will be beaten down and used for good purposes. Swords becoming plows and spears becoming pruning hooks. And then, did you notice, Paul even talks about how we should take up the weapons of light. Earlier, Paul in the book of Romans talks about the weapons of righteousness. Same idea. And if the word weapons sounds too militaristic to you, you could substitute the word instruments of light. But the idea is, I think, as I see this, a turning of the instruments of war and violence and destruction into instruments for good and building up. And that's sort of the choice as well in Advent. Part of this hope of the not yet. Dark versus light. Weapons of war versus weapons of light. And that got me thinking, why do we have weapons in this world? swords and spears and guns and armies and nuclear weapons and ships and all these things. Well, the weapons of darkness, the weapons, the physical weapons of this world are meant for protection, but protection by hurting someone else, or at least threatening to hurt someone else. I mean, why are there so many people in this country who are not hunters or sportsmen, but who want a gun? Well, I think many of them would say for protection, for security. And what is that protection? It's the protection that if you start to do something to me, I can kill you or hurt you. And it's a deterrence. Like nuclear weapons, hopefully. You have enough of them, no one's going to bother with you because you could destroy that other country. That's kind of sick, isn't it? I mean, really? It's security based on the threat of hurting or killing someone else. And so it is with the weapons of darkness, the weapons of this world. And they're not just physical weapons. There are spiritual weapons of darkness as well. Hatred and division and us versus them. You know, I'm feeling like I need some security in my life, so I do so by making someone else or some other group of people feel less than me and my tribe. Again, it's kind of sick if you think about it. But it's another weapon of darkness. I'm better than you. I can hurt you if you hurt me. This is how darkness and war and hatred come into our lives and our hearts. Now contrast that with the weapons of light. And if you're wondering what those might be, notice as well Paul says, put on Jesus Christ. Dress yourself in Christ. In the way Christ lived and behaved. Christ never threatened to hurt someone. Christ never tore people down or divided people. Instead, the weapons of light, the weapons of Christ, were the weapons of love and peace and joy and hope and building up and reaching out and bridging the divides. I mean, this was part of the problem with Jesus when he came. People wanted him to come embodying the weapons of war, to come and slay the Romans and defeat the enemies. And instead, Jesus put on the weapons of light, of meekness and humility and reaching out and loving. And there were people who said, "Yeah, that's not for us. That'll never work in this world." And they turned away. But here we are offered that choice again and that reminder in Advent. The hope that we can do better. That we can put aside the weapons that hurt and tear down and destroy and put on the weapons of light that build up people and give hope and reach out and build trust and understanding and love. And it starts with us, each one of us. I came across a wonderful quote from Thomas Merton this week, where Merton says, "Love is, quote, a work not of states or of institutions or of organizations. Love is a work of persons." People, like us, is where it must begin. And another wonderful quote, this one too long for me to remember, but I'll read it to you. This one from John Calvin, commenting on this passage in Romans. And he says, "Now to put on Christ means here to be on every side fortified by the power of His Spirit and be thereby prepared to discharge all duties of holiness. For thus is the image of God renewed in us, which is the only true ornament of the soul. Now that word ornament struck me as we are entering this holiday season. How many of us are so concerned about the ornaments and decorations we're putting up around our houses? But here's Calvin reminding us the real decoration and ornament of this season is of our own souls and hearts and how we live and what we do and say. Friends, as we enter this season of Advent, a season of hope, a season, a reminder that there's a lot of not yet work to be done, that it must start with us putting on Jesus Christ in our life and revealing those weapons of light in a world of darkness. And a reminder as well that that not yet is shorter than it used to be. And if we want to be followers of Christ, if we want to put on Christ, the time to start is right now. Today, before it's too late. Amen.